Mark your books to number 623, and when that song is sung, if there's any way that we can assist you today in your obedience to the gospel, or whether you would request the prayers of this group on your behalf, that would be a convenient time for you to let us know how we can assist you. And for our first passage that I want to read to you this morning, go ahead and be turning in your Bibles if you want to follow along to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. James, the brother of our Lord, wrote, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I'm going to be honest with you. I struggled with that passage for a long time. How in the world can I count it joy to fall into diverse temptations? There ain't nothing fun about that, is there? I mean, as Christians, we are tempted all the time. Satan's out to get us all the time. He puts stumbling blocks before us all the time. Things happen in our lives that we don't really appreciate and we're not happy about. So how can I count it all joy to fall into diverse temptations? Well, first thing I realized was that I got to understand what the word joy means. I got to know what he's talking about. What is he saying? Because, you know, there's things that happen in our lives that we're just not happy about. Well, the first thing I got to realize is that the word joy and the word happiness are not the same thing. Well, let's look at a couple of definitions. Webster's dictionary defines joy as inner gladness, calmness, a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. Happiness, on the other hand, is defined as the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good, that state of being in which his desires are gratified by the enjoyment of pleasure without pain. To a person distressed with pain, relief from that pain affords happiness. In other cases, we give the name happiness to positive pleasure or an excitement of agreeable sensations. Happiness, therefore, admits of indefinite degrees of increase of enjoyment or gratification of desires. Boy, that's a lot of words, ain't it? What that basically says is the difference between happiness and joy is that happiness is determined by the events in my life that are going on right now. Whether I'm happy or not is determined by what's happening around me right now. Things have to happen in a way that make me happy. Joy, however, is not determined by current events in my life that are happening. I can have joy and be in the worst state physically that you can imagine. Just like the definition said of happiness. Someone who is in pain and then finds relief from that pain. And you've all been there in some way or another. I mean, every now and then you have a headache, right? And you're not happy about having a headache. But when that headache goes away, then that makes you happy that the headache's gone away. Last night, for example, we were up on Cheehaw with some folks having a good time, but it was cold. I was happy when I got in the van and the van started up and it got warm in there, started warming me up because it was cold. I was happy about that. And it got anything to do with joy. That made me happy. All right? You see the difference? Joy is something that we have internally regardless of the state of events happening around us. Happiness is dependent upon those states of events. Alright? Crouch couldn't have led a better song for me to lead into this. If you'll notice the first verse of that song, "All day long of Jesus I'm singing. He my song of joy will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing, for his love is everything to me." Well, that's what we want to talk about. The first thing we want to talk about is what a source of joy really is. Where do we find joy? Remember, there's a difference between joy and happiness. We want to differentiate between those two. Joy and happiness. We're talking about joy today. We all understand happiness. I want to understand what joy is so that when I fall into diverse temptations, I can count it all joy. It's what James said. So that's what we want to understand. So the source of joy. Turn, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. And I don't normally do this to you guys very often. I do it occasionally, but I'm going to kind of rapid fire you with scripture today, because I don't need to make a lot of comments regarding the passages that we're going to use today, because they just tie together so well and define what we're talking about. The first passage here, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Do you remember the definition that we read about joy? It said inner gladness, calmness, a delight of the mind from the consideration of present or assured approaching possession of good. Joy is something that I have because I expect a good to be approaching me as a Christian. Now, there may not be anything all that good approaching me from a physical state coming up. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and you don't either. But I know what the hereafter holds. And I have a joy because of that. And there is nothing, if I meditate on that and I truly understand and believe that, there is nothing that happens to me in this world that can cause that joy to diminish. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to focus on. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's made possible for us to be made one with God through Jesus Christ. Through His sacrifice, we can be made one. We can be reconciled to Him, and in no other way can we be reconciled to God the Father. And because of that, Paul wrote to the Romans that we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's where we got that. It's through God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's not physical, he said, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a pattern evolving here I hope you're catching. Galatians 5 and 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Philippians 3 and 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Philippians 3 and 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. See, Paul told the Philippians that we don't have joy because of our confidence in anything in the flesh. Now, you can have happiness because of things that happen in the flesh, but not joy. Joy has nothing to do with what happens in this world around us. It comes from somewhere else. And that's what we're reading about now, is the source of that joy. Philippians 4 and 4. Excuse me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, he told the Thessalonians, he pointed out to them that they received joy. They got the word through much affliction. They were afflicted because they received that word, because of their obedience to the gospel. They were afflicted. You know, that's something we can't really relate to today a whole lot. Brother Bo Johnson, a few weeks ago over at Oak Grove, brought a lesson, and he was talking about persecution. How Christians, and the Bible says that Christians will receive persecution. It says we'll be persecuted. And Bo said at one point in his life, he looked around and he said, you know, I still feel like I'm being persecuted. And his father-in-law told him, he said, well, you will. But you know, for the most part, I mean really, for the most part, I've not been persecuted. Not when you read of the persecution that the Romans inflicted on the early Christians. What kind of persecution have I inflicted? Yeah, where I work, they have bowling get-togethers. They don't invite me to the bowling get-togethers because they know I don't drink. And they're going to be drinking beer and having whatever they do at the bowling get-together. So they know I don't drink and they don't invite me. And that's all right with me. That's really not persecution. But they leave me out of that on account of that. Well, I'm sure you can relate to that too. The folks that gather together and talk about whatever it is that they talk about, but they leave you out of the conversation because you know you don't want to, they know you don't want to take part in that. That's really not persecution. Really, that's a good thing. But we all understand that, but we don't really have a lot of persecution in this country. Our brothers and sisters in Christ across the ocean, on the other hand, in certain parts of Africa, where Brother Harry and Brother Wayne Moore and others, Brother Danny Abercrombie, go and work with those folks, they're persecuted. When I say they're persecuted, I mean when they find out that they're Christians and they won't renounce their faith, they're in danger of being killed. That's exactly right. Brother Harry and Brother Wayne and Brother Danny don't talk about that a lot. But that's how it is. They have little militia groups that are militant Muslim militia groups that roam around the countryside looking for folks that they can, by the sword, convert to be Muslims. And when they don't bow down to their Muslim faith and they claim to be Christian, well, they'll just kill them. Drag them out in the middle of the street, pour gasoline on them, set them on fire. That's persecution. I don't get that in this country. So I really can't relate to that kind of persecution, although one day there's nothing to say that we won't. But we don't see that today. But Paul pointed out to those at Thessalonica that they received the word of God through persecution. Yet he said they had joy. And also in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul wrote, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" He said, what do we have joy? Why do we have joy? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He says, isn't it because you know that you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ when He returns that you have this joy? Well, let me ask you, is that a source of joy for you as a Christian, man or woman? Is that a really a source of joy for you to know that one day you'll stand in the presence of Jesus Christ who died for your sins? In my sins, that is a source of joy for a Christian. To know that I'll stand in His presence. I'll be able to worship Him in person. And not only that, the Bible tells me that when He returns, in whatever form He returns in, I'll be like Him. We sing that song in our book sometimes. We'll be like Him. That is a source of joy for me to know that all the problems that this life has to offer me will be gone when He returns, because I'll be like Him. Well, our source of joy, if you hadn't picked up on it already, doesn't come from this earth. It comes from above. That's our source of joy. Well, there's some other things we as Christians can joy in, and one of them I mentioned before is like last night, we got the opportunity to be together with some other brothers and sisters in Christ. And our fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ is a source of joy for us as Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, the Apostle Paul again wrote, "I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things." Paul could count on his brothers and sisters in Christ. He had confidence in them, in their faith, and in their desire to be together and to support each other. And he had confidence in that. Gave him confidence. And because of it, he had joy. It brought him joy. We as Christians, when we draw on each other, should find a source of joy in that fellowship. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Did you get that? How that in great trial of affliction, All right? They were in a great trial of affliction, Paul said, but they had an abundance of joy, and even in their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Even when they were in poverty, they were able to find ways to support and help each other. Now that's a source of joy because of that fellowship that they have with each other. We ought to have that same source of joy today. Philippians 1 and 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Does it give you confidence? Does it give you joy to know and see acted out in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ, their faith? Well, it does me. I'll tell you something that gives me a lot of happiness, and because of it, and because I can see what's coming and expect what's coming, gives me some joy too. I'm very happy to sit here in the pew on Sunday morning and see these young men get up and take part in this service. That makes me happy. But I'll tell you what gives me joy about it. I know that in the future, as the brother prayed in his prayer, that in the future, they're stepping up and are ready to carry on the gospel and to carry it to others that I can't ever reach. That gives me quite a bit of joy to know that, to see the young men and young women who are willing to live as Christians among their peers. That's a source of joy. Philippians 2 and 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, Paul said, if I am offered upon the sacrifice, he said, and service of your faith. In other words, to serve you as a Christian, Paul said, if I have to give my life for that, he said, I joy and rejoice with you all. That's the fellow that's confident and content in who he is and where he's headed, right? I want that. I work every day. When I study the Bible, I study with the intent of increasing my confidence and my faith so that I can say that and mean that and feel that in my heart. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith and rejoice, and I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, that's a matter of joy for me to know that I'm willing to give myself in your service. He said, in order to bring the gospel to you, if that costs me my life, he said, I'm good with that. Hey, that's a good place to be. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 20, for ye are our glory and joy. He said, the fellowship that I have with you is a source of joy for me. Well, I want you all to know today that the fellowship that I've had with you throughout my life is a source of joy for me. It really is. I don't say that lightly. That's a fact. And I hope that your association with me and with the other brothers and sisters sitting in this room is a source of joy for you. Does that bring you joy? An inner gladness that has nothing to do with the circumstances around you? Whether it be feast or famine, you have a source of joy because of your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ that are around you? I hope so. Well, another source of joy that we find in the Scriptures is a joy in the gospel, in that good news. Now, what is the gospel? I want to give you a real quick recap, and I want to remind you. The gospel literally means good news. All right? It literally, those words are translated and mean good news. Well, what is the good news? Well, the bad news was that mankind had fallen away from God through sin and had placed a barrier between God and himself because of sin. The good news is we can be reconciled to God again through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the good news. Christ died, and shed His blood for my sins and your sins, and because of that sacrifice, I can be reconciled to God again. He can tear down that barrier. That's the good news. And we ought to be telling that good news everywhere we go to everybody we meet. The world needs to know that there is a Savior. The world needs to know that there is a way for us to be reconciled back to God. And we need to tell it. That's the good news we need to be telling. Philippians 1 and 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Remember now, what he's talking about was that there were those who were at odds with the apostles. And there were those that were going around spreading this good news, but they were not doing it for the right reason. They were doing it for financial gain. Do you know what Paul said? He said, I don't care how it happens. As long as that good news is spread, I don't care what their motivation is. It's a good thing, and I rejoice in the fact that the knowledge of Jesus Christ is being spread, and that I rejoice in. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Paul said, I rejoice in that. Philippians 2 and 18. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And that what they were rejoicing about and joying with Paul was because that the gospel was being preached. Colossians 1 and 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. He's saying that it didn't matter to him that he suffered as long as the gospel was spread. And in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. So we ought to find a joy in the gospel. There's joy in the gospel to know that there's a way for me to be reconciled to God. And you know the other thing that we need to make sure people understand? When we talk to people about the gospel, we fail to mention this sometimes, or I fail to mention it. Let me say it that way. I shouldn't generalize. I get caught up in that. I generalize a lot, and I apologize if I offend you when I generalize, because usually I'm talking about me. I don't do a good job of letting people know that it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. If you're willing to repent of it and be washed in Christ's blood, you can be reconciled to God. Hey, that's good news. There's murderers that need to hear that. Yeah, murderers. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth all manner of things that we would say were just terrible, horrible crimes. And he said, and such were some of you. But now you're washed, he said. It doesn't matter what the sin was. Christ's blood will overcome it. That is good news, folks. That's good news. That is a source of joy. I'm going to leave you with a handful of other passages here that relate to our joy, but are more generalized passages. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, Paul said, rejoice evermore. Hebrews 12 and 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's a perfect passage to talk about the difference between joy and happiness, isn't it? That's a perfect passage because do you think for 1 minute that Christ was happy that those Roman soldiers were spitting on him and beating him and shoving a crown of thorns down on his head and humiliating him? Do you think he was happy about that? No. He knew it was coming, and he prayed to God the Father, and he said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. He said, I don't want to take this physical abuse that I'm about to go through. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. But he had joy. Didn't diminish Christ's joy because Christ knew that what he was about to do was going to be able to make it possible for mankind to be reconciled to God the Father. That was his joy. And he was not happy that he was about to be beaten. And when that was happening to him, he was not happy that he was being beaten and spat upon and physically abused. So that's the difference between happiness and joy. 1 Peter 1 and 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We didn't see Christ. We didn't get to hear the Sermon on the Mount as he presented it. We weren't there. But we still can joy in him knowing of the sacrifice that he made for us. 1 Peter 4 and 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now let's go back to our text that we started with. James chapter 1 and verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Did you just hear what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 13? But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers in Christ's sufferings. When you fall into divers temptations, when you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, is the way Peter put it, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's why James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And then Jude chapter 1, verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And then the last verse that I'll read to you today, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Christ. The Lamb is Christ. Now, who is his bride? A lot of folks get confused about that one. His bride is the church. Who's the church? Christians. Me and you. Those that have been washed in the blood of Christ. We are his bride. And he says, the bride has been made ready. How's the bride been made ready? The bride's been made ready by the blood of Christ. So the Lamb has come. The bride's been made ready. So be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, is what John the Revelator wrote. I hope that this idea and this thought of the difference between happiness and joy can help you, but I want you to understand something. This was not intended to be the end-all, be-all of this topic. In order for you to get the maximum out of the idea of joy, you're going to have to do your homework. This is a good starting place for you to study this idea of joy. It's only a starting place. We just heard the gun fire and we just took the first step in understanding it. I want to encourage you to go home this week. As this holiday season approaches us, think about the difference between what makes you happy. Yeah, we got family coming in on Thanksgiving. That's going to make me happy. But what gives you joy? We as humans look at what makes us happy. And we focus on that and we see that because it's obvious to us. We know what makes us happy. We know what causes that emotion of happiness in us. And we want to repeat those things that cause happiness. But joy is something much deeper. Joy is something that doesn't matter what's happening around us. We can find joy in the fact that our salvation doesn't lie in ourselves. It lies in Jesus Christ. This is the lesson, and if we can be of assistance to you in any way, won't you let us know while we stand and sing?
Amen to you.